Is this rolling? Are you this slow is... rolling? Are we ready?
Why are you worried about the fucking roll?
You spent 35 minutes.
You were always worried about the fucking roll.
We're on the pre-roll.
So he's about to say something that can't be recorded. Incendiary.
Off the record.
Incendiary.
Yeah.
Three.
Incendiary is not a thing. Yeah. I'm just saying.
One cork soaker.
Sean and I were talking this week. That was one of the best days and most awkward days of our lives when you two were working on the sound systems in here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was entertaining for all of us, except you two.
So can I go on record? So we've had some technical difficulties. We have had some technical issues.
Right.
In the last couple of weeks, early on and in the last couple of weeks, and Sean Flannery is the cause of all of the recent problems.
Thanks,
so
Sean.
Can we just...
Totally true.
And I'm now wondering how many sound systems across the Midwest my splitter has ruined. If it has an electrical short in it, you know. Like.
Were you using an unbalanced load? It was a simple 2-to-1 balanced load.
Because usually when I've used it, it's a place that didn't have multiple inputs. So I'm like, oh, yeah, we'll just use this. Then, yeah, I never see them again.
So anything you buy at Radio Shack, we cannot use here.
So I saw a solicitation from Sean Flannery on Facebook about wanting an audio tech person.
Yes.
And is this the reason, I'm wondering?
No. No, that is unrelated. Yes. It's interesting. I've been...
How old is Cora?
What is she now, two? Yeah.
Two-year-old.
Yeah.
So your two-year-old is your sound engineer.
She is. I do all the sound checks with her.
Excellent. Good plan. So what you were saying...
I don't know if this is good for the podcast or not, but I've been very busy with family stuff. So I do a Saturday show that is kind of successful in Chicago called The Blackout Diaries, and I haven't been there a lot recently because I have a lot of family stuff going on. And it turns out our other producers, it had to get to a point where it was a disaster before people like kind of came to me. But it turns out like every show's been a disaster when I haven't been there. Just like the shows are starting an hour late, like the mics are going out, like nothing's working. And I had no idea. Like I was texting these people. I'm like,
so you are clearly the tech support for this entire show.
Yeah, I was. You know, so I would host the show, but I also set everything up. And I trained them on how to do it, but they didn't absorb it. But I was also texting them. I'm like, how's it going? And they're great. You know, so like I never heard. The bar came to me and I'm like, I hear everything's been going really great. They're like, well, the crowds have been packed, but they're never coming back. I'm like, what do you mean? Like the shows have been a disaster.
Oh. Sean, this is pretty much what it's like when Dion goes on vacation.
I told these guys, you know the shit.
The shit that we get.
The bar just shat in my face. So I reached out to just see if there were people out there that maybe aren't comics but like comedy that, you know, are more interested in tech that could do this role.
Sure.
So yeah, that's where that came from. Yeah.
Thank God I'm not interested in any way, shape, or form, and I have no skills in this category. So it's all you.
I don't believe that any people like with families or anything are going to be volunteering
to
do audio tech at a drinking show.
Yeah. You get the invite to the GOP convention.
He's going there right now.
I will be your tech /IT/film/video/whatever-you-need guy.
Well, we've already determined that we're not going to get press passes. We're not going to get ticket floors. But what we were saying, our best chance of entry would probably be to apply for a menial job at the Quicken Center. It just worked the nacho stand. that's our best way to get in there.
Nacho stand with open mic.
We never worked the fucking nacho stand.
I see your previous job. For the last 10 years, you've been internal security software for a Fortune 20 company, and you now want to work the nacho machine. Well, I think you're... I'm going to say you're qualified.
Hey, can I just ask you... sir, are you familiar with bagged cheese?
Oh my God, dude. That would be my dream job.
dream
and then
job.
You just, it turns out you just love it. Yes. You never come back.
God.
You can try. Oh, man, I love it. I meet so many people.
I just fucking serve cheese all day. Yeah,
I drive the Camaro to work every day. Yeah, it's great tops down.
I could dip whatever I... The cheese is in a tub that I could dip whatever I want into it.
Okay, that may be across the line. Hey, yeah. We are the Worldwide IT Guys. Welcome to the Worldwide IT Guys. I am Steve.
I'm Dion.
I'm Dan.
John.
Sean.
And we are the Worldwide IT Guys, and this is podcast number 33, I think. So welcome. Once again, I'm Steve, and we're talking about transformation. That's our theme. We've had some visitors this week, and we were going to have guest participants in the podcast, and all of them ran away about 10 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago. All of them ran away because...
Smart, smart people.
They were very intelligent. They were very intelligent.
Do we have good transformation updates? Dion, I always look at you for the transformation updates.
And I always have to look back at the week and say, is anything podcast related?
I heard you with a couple funny phone calls. Sometimes I feel like my role in this podcast is just to recap some of the things I've overheard Dion say to whoever's talking to on a phone. Oh, but even this morning I heard you go, and I'm guessing it was with Microsoft due to like some sort of problem. And you go, listen, you know, I have some time. But I'm not going to help you troubleshoot a product that's never worked in 6 years. And that probably won't be here in a year. So will I answer questions? Yes. Am I going to QC this for you? No.
So
I don't know what they asked you.
Okay, that could apply to like 12 different
And then they ask you a bunch of follow-up questions and you go... One of the times I think you did, I have no idea what he asked you, but you said something like, not on God's green earth. Like, which is your answer?
I did hear him say...
Is there anything we could offer you?
I did hear him say this week, he goes, listen, I'm a pretty straightforward guy. I'm going to tell you what I think.
Which is 10 minutes later, he's like, hello? Hello?
Yes, right.
Have you hung up?
I do feel like... this week's adventure in Skype for Business was essentially trying to figure out why voicemail wasn't working. And we've ported numbers over. We're trying to try this PBX in the cloud, you know, offering. And essentially, there's a bunch of us here who've ported our office phone numbers, our desk landline phone numbers into the cloud and said, hey, you are our desk phone. When somebody calls us, you ring us on our computer. We pick it up or not. If not, it goes to our voicemail. We get an email that says, hey, here's an MP3. Listen to this voicemail. It's supposed to work perfectly. And for the users who have a Microsoft phone number, this works great. However, if we've ported your number from an existing, our local office area code, all of your callers basically go into limbo and they leave a voicemail and it disappears forever. It is gone. The there is nothing you can ever say that says, what is that voicemail you ever left me? It's gone. Yeah. It fucking disappears. You are non-existent. So and this is what happened today.
So essentially the most ideal situation that the voicemail messages you would have gotten are going to the ether. That's perfect.
In the ether. The literal cloud, like the cloud itself, the abstract
like
concept.
Like literally into the fucking existence of moisture in the atmosphere, yes.
Whatever you left me is pretty unimportant, so...
Who leaves a voicemail in 2016 anyways? Yeah, I think that is the most selfish thing to do.
You really expected me to respond to that?
Yeah, a voicemail. Cool. I mean, because like, just text me to call you, and I'll call you.
Honestly... This is your opinion. I'm with you 100%.
Yes.
When's the last time you got a voicemail and actually responded to it? Have you gotten a voicemail from your friend or your parents or anybody?
No.
No, you don't.
If I get a voicemail, it's from like a dentist or, right. or something that doesn't actually know me, you
right.
know, or something like that, you know?
Right.
You know, or it's like, oh, hey, Mr. Flannery, the oil's changed on your car. You can pick it up anytime. You yeah. know, like that kind
like,
of shit.
You know? You're not going to die from this, but you should get a root canal. That a okay? You should get a root canal, all right?
Yeah.
Not like you have cancer on your face.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is cancer.
But honestly, yeah. I am...
None of this is cancer. Yeah. None of this is life-threatening. But
so who's going to do this? Who's going to make a change to their voicemail? Because I shared this once before on the podcast. I shared this on my...
We can't do it.
...podcast before. I said, look, a guy I respect said, I want to answer my... And he did this. He did this on his voicemail. He said, I am going to answer my voicemail and go, hi, you've reached so-and-so, and I'm here to why are you what who are you? What are you doing? You're texting or you're voicemailing me. Why are you leaving a voicemail? If you don't know my text, I don't want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Go the fuck away. And that is the almost literal voicemail you want to leave on your business yeah. voicemail.
My first question is
it's no longer
who do you respect?
Nobody here, but
I was like, I mean, nobody in this room is left that
this
voicemail.
Guy who did this on his voicemail.
You don't it's respect anybody yeah. in this room because we haven't done that.
It's a Sherpa?
So. All right.
Are those the guys that lead you up a mountain?
The Sherpas. Yeah, up yeah. to the top
yes.
of Everest.
Yes,
yeah.
I totally
we've had
respect the
cloud
Sherpas.
Sherpas tell us they can get us to where we need to be.
But yes. I have a friend who had everyone call him and leave super long voicemails so that he would fill up his mailbox. So that nobody could leave him a voicemail. And that was his way of
yeah.
like achieving that goal. He's like, I don't want anyone to leave me a voicemail. So like just leave me a 10-minute voicemail. Yeah.
So that when the next person comes in they go, I'm sorry.
You're, yeah, it says like
you're screwed.
You get this mailbox is full.
Mailbox
you
know? Is full.
You're yeah. screwed. I like that. I respect that. I respect that guy.
Yeah.
You were asking, that's the guy.
We were talking. You said something that made me think. My brother-in-law has this amazing story. My brother-in-law saw, like, this quack doctor for a while. I mean, like, a real doctor, but he has this great story. He had to go
a
in.
Real quack doctor.
But it's just, like, a really old, crazy guy. But we were talking about things that you shouldn't leave in a voicemail and so on. So he yes. went in for a physical and, you know, get some blood work done. He's in his mid-40s, is my brother-in-law, and... Doctor calls him the next day, leaves a voicemail that says, Phil, you need to call me as soon as you can. Long story short, you're dying. You have cancer, the bad kind, and you need to make some arrangements.
Oh, God.
Call
Holy
me when you
shit.
Can. That's left as a voicemail, okay?
Voicemail.
Don't do that.
So he comes in, he's like, oh, my God, like, what is it? You know, he's like, oh, Jesus, you know, I mean, you have liver cancer, it's probably all over, like, your blood... Your blood's totally abnormal. And he's like, and it's just cancer? He's like, what kind? He goes, I have no idea. He goes, you don't know what kind of cancer it is? He's like, no idea. And he's like, well, what's the symptom? Like, your blood is ultra thin. And he's like, well, could it be caused by something else? He goes, I can't think of what else. And he goes, well, like, for example, I injured myself in softball that morning, and I probably had, like, 10 aspirin before I came to see you. And he'd go, that would exactly do it. He goes, I guess we have nothing to worry about.
Have a good weekend.
Just like the weirdest doctor.
Yeah. Never do that again.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I know. Yep. He said he had like the worst bedside manner.
Say hi to Joan for me, okay?
Because it was like he was getting, it wasn't his doctor. God. It was somebody that like he was getting a new life insurance policy and like it was somebody he had to see by the insurance company. And I don't know if like this insurance like this guy doesn't he does rates it's like super cheap or something. Yeah.
Yep.
That is awful.
Never do that again.
So I want to address a couple of things. So anybody who's been listening to this podcast, I want to apologize for the last couple of weeks. We've had some technical issues and I'm hoping as I watch the meters bounce over here, I'm hoping desperately that all of those have been resolved. So those of you that have stuck with us through our little pain points, we've done a little investing in our infrastructure.
Tens
and
of thousands of dollars have been invested.
Ish.
We got some sponsors, so that helps.
Yeah.
We're huge in Australia. Thank you, Leo.
Can I just caveat on that. We have not gotten any sponsors, so zero. Any of you that would like to sponsor,
send us money. Care of Merchandise Mar Plaza.
Once again, we are the Worldwide IT Guys, so please tweet us at WWITGuys.com. Hashtag whatever the fuck you want. Just at WWITGuys.
Hashtag WTF.
We are looking for sponsors. But beyond that, I apologize for the technical issues that we have had. And now we've had another party join us. What, I'm sorry. Hello. Welcome.
Please, hey, mic check.
Gavin Lynch, mic check.
Mic check.
So I'm hoping to God that the meter that's bouncing over there says that Gavin is actually speaking and we're recording him.
Nice.
If our technical issues continue, I'll apologize next week.
Which podcast number are we at?
33.
Gavin, good for you.
It's a good Sean number.
33. Nice. So hopefully we've resolved all of those problems, and I apologize again.
Good.
But we're here, and we are encouraging you to sponsor our podcast.
33 is really when you hit your stride, by the way.
I'm hoping that the Blackout Diaries, you said that was successful, right? That perhaps there may be a sponsor in the room at the moment.
Mm. Oh, yeah, maybe.
Because you are like raking it in, and we're just looking for
three viewers, listeners.
John can tear you off half a drink ticket and put it in the tip bin.
I can get every person in this room a free old fashioned once a week minimum.
Besides,
that's not a bad deal.
Besides the
$10,
the technical issues. We do this on Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For those of you mm-hmm. out there listening, we do this on Wednesdays. And I'm honestly struggling. So I've got a full complement today. There are six of us in the room, which is rare.
You have...
Six of us.
Yes.
I am honestly contemplating changing this date.
What?
We do it Wednesday night.
No.
And I'm looking for this group to tell me... what happens? We come in Monday morning and everybody tells stories and we laugh and we have a good time and we share. And then Tuesday we share and we talk and blah, blah, blah. I am constantly looking at this group going, shut
the fuck up. Save it for Wednesday is what I hear constantly in the office.
Just shut it.
I don't want to talk to you
Wednesday. You want to do Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everything's new.
Yeah.
Wednesday it seems so trite.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we're like fabricating. So this is like behind the curtain. Listeners, the three of you that are still out there, you're hearing for the first time that we're fabricating all of this. Because we had this conversation 3 days ago.
We're huge 2 days in Australia. Ago. Have we mentioned that?
You know, we're just going to have to bring the mics out on the weekends.
If we do it Tuesday night, if we do it like Monday night, Tuesday night, is it better or is it worse?
We could try that, but you're still going to have conversations then on Wednesday that you're going to be like, well, save it for next Monday. You know, like you're always going to have conversation. You know, I mean, there's no way to like put the net somewhere where it's going to catch all the conversations
spontaneously.
We're always entertaining.
But I do look at you guys on Monday.
We're always entertaining. You pick a Wednesday or a Monday or a fucking Sunday at night after I've had guacamole for dinner.
We are always
fucking entertaining. So you want to bring it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Any day of the week.
He'll deliver. You know, he's a professional podcaster.
He'll deliver.
Which actually brings us...
Sponsored professional
Wednesday.
Podcast.
It's podcast day.
Dion, we are always entertaining. That brings me to the next question for our listeners. So I just asked a question for this group.
Yep.
Like, is... Like, Worldwide IT Guys, we are always entertaining. Is that literally a T-shirt that anybody would buy? Because, for God's sakes, they would never buy that T-shirt.
I mean, cork-soaking 24-7.
Cork-soaking 24-7. That's not us.
No,
we can't sell that shit.
I better one.
It's a topic that came up today. I'm just bringing up what happened this week. So I'm just, you know, it's what we do.
It's just topical.
We've had some people in the office. We've had visitors. We've had topics.
I get everything. Your point. We can't possibly, like, prevent the conversation from happening. But is Wednesday the best night?
Sean, never talk to
Monday.
Me until it's Wednesday.
Well, I'll try any day.
Never talk to me.
Never talked to me.
I come in on Monday going, I don't know. What are you going to talk about? What should I know?
Baseball. Hockey.
We were talking about something today that was funny. What were we talking about?
Worldwide IT.
It was the state guns.
Oh my God. That was hilarious. That was
funny. There's no way state guns just pops in. How do we segue to that?
Well, let's just talk. I mean, because it was something that was making us laugh. Like, it was something that was sort of water cooler talk. Like, it was making us laugh.
The Tennessee state gun.
It was very funny.
So we were joking about, like, how some of the states in the U.S., like, so it started with, you know, Prince died. And then Minnesota.
Prince is dead, everybody. Sorry.
Minnesota was going to make purple the official color of the state.
Spoiler? Yep.
And we we're laughing about how these states are almost like children and that they have a favorite color, a favorite tree, a favorite bird. And I mentioned, well, some of them have, like, guns, like, state guns, favorite guns. There's, like 6 or 7 states with guns.
It's insane.
And most of them are, like, historically important guns. Like, Arizona's is, like, I don't know, like, that gun.
It's a revolver.
The West and...
The Colt Single Action Army Revolver.
Thank you.
It is historically factual.
Yeah, like, it's important to the history of Arizona.
Absolutely.
But Tennessee has
West, right? Sure.
An M50 carbine that can take down a commercial flight. Yeah. State gun.
Tennessee's ready for fucking combat, people. Don't mess
the Browning,
with us.
I think it's called the Barrett or the Browning.
Yeah, the Barrett.
Barrett?
Don't, no,
the
Browning's an old...
all right, so the Barrett, was it the
M82. 50 caliber sniper rifle.
And it's
rifle.
Like, you can't even hold it. Like, there's a guy holding it up like it's a state gun, and it's this old guy, and it looks like he's trying to lift a car, you know?
I can take down a 747 with this gun. That's the state gun. Yeah. It's unbelievable. But, like, other states have, like, literally there's, like, this old rifle that meant something in the history of the state, which we used during the Civil War or, like, during the Civil War or Revolutionary War.
Sure.
It was, like, perfect. Even the Colt single action Arizona rifle. Like, okay, I get it. This was this gun's 200 years old. It meant a lot. It changed the face of the Wild West.
But the amazing thing we decided
to have,
was...
like, a bazooka as your fucking state gun is ridiculous.
And Texas, which you would assume, like, stereotypically, Texas, what is their state gun?
Yeah.
They don't have
one. They don't have one.
They don't have one.
I think it's because they can't settle on one. The debates are too spirited. Like, it just, you know. That was a huge shock to me. It's funny, like, open carry laws have sort of expanded, but I remember working in Texas in the 90s, and... like, you would go into a building, and the secretary would be like, do y'all need to check a gun? You know,
y'all.
Yeah, like, you can't have a gun inside the offices, you know. And that was amazing to me that just, it was that common that everyone
had Texas
guns.
Rangers could not decide on their favorite gun. Therefore, Texas doesn't have a state gun. That's
is that the reason?
Or they love all guns.
They love...
We love guns so much.
Pretty much, Texas Rangers can kill anybody with any gun. Well, they can't pick their favorite, so therefore, they don't have one.
Well, I was speculating that, like...
It is a revolver, though. If they could pick one, it will be a revolver, but they cannot pick their favorite revolver.
And I speculated that it would be, like, counties in Texas, because Texas is such a big state, and they all have an opinion that counties... may have their own gun, but they'd all be revolvers, apparently.
That's a true Republican way to do it. That's
local
government.
That's
fuck
local.
The states, fuck the feds.
Holy crap. No, I'm good with not having a state gun. We don't have a state gun, right?
Illinois does not have a state gun. Our neighbors to the east do, Indiana.
The podcast does, though, have an official gun.
It's an old rifle.
Wait.
The podcast has a gun.
Wait, Gavin?
Yes.
What's
our gun, Gavin?
I'm choosing the bazooka.
Boom.
As a podcast.
So we can up
gun.
Tennessee.
That's right. One up them.
This is here for anybody who needs it.
Just because it's a bazooka.
Yeah. What's better than that?
Big freaking gun. How about a grenade launcher?
The BFG?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Like Doom?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have the, you know, the distance, but that's fine.
Can you take down a plane?
Doom is big in pop culture this week in that it was released on Xbox this week, so the BFG.
The original Doom?
The original Doom was released on Xbox One, and Lego has like a 5,000-piece set that you can build a BFG gun this week, and it's kind of a fun thing. You know, it's like building a Millennium Falcon or whatever with Legos, but the BFG from Doom is kind of a hot you know, kind of cool thing to do this week if you have $500 worth of Legos and,
that's how
you
much
know,
you need.
20 hours.
Oh, so it's supposed to be like to scale where you
sure,
would
sure,
hold
sure.
it.
Sure, sure, sure. If you have
everything.
$20 and $5,000 worth of Legos, you can build a BFG. So I have neither of those.
But those things are like all they have. Do they have directions and they all fit yeah. together a specific way, right?
It's something you can find on YouTube. But essentially, yes, you can find somebody who tells you how to build a BFG yeah. Doom gun, 5,000 piece Lego system.
For, oh, okay, so that's yeah. that's not like Doom. That's like using stock pieces.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. I like that because I don't like when they're specifically crafted like just for Star Wars.
Well, you
like,
can
that's
buy
like
the Millennium Falcon set for $250, which builds you a Star Wars Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
This dude on YouTube says, "Hey, you want to build a BFG, a big fucking gun from Doom? Yeah. It's going to cost you probably 20 hours of your life and $500 worth of Legos, but you can build it. And it's basically these types of pieces, whether you own them or not." Here's what you need to own. And it's kind of cool because some people do that. Some people just own 6,000 pieces of Legos
some
and
dudes
do
get,
something. So, yeah.
Some people collect
yeah.
stamps.
Like some dudes, they get
those
older, they get into like model trains. You know, some dudes get into Legos.
You know, the
like,
funniest
you know.
Thing that I learned is, you know, my daughter is going to turn 5 in May. And I've learned that classes she will be able to sign up for in her like grade school career will be how to build shit out of Legos.
How to build shit out of Legos.
I'm dead serious.
Yeah. So I just like
is,
that as the real
she
title.
She is in preschool. She will be in kindergarten. She will go to first
it's fucking
grade.
Great.
This is how to build shit out of Legos.
And they use it as like a you know mathematical thing as a you know there's just a whole bunch of applications that Legos fit into.
Oh, it's a great like engineering
and
for little kids.
As spatial, an engineering tool,
yeah, spatial intelligence.
There are amazing classes that she will be able to utilize, but they're all based around Legos for the next. Probably 5 years of her life, she will learn some of the most amazing mathematical skills that we all were like, I don't know how the fuck to equate that shit. She'll learn doing it via Lego.
So it's like insane clown fallacy.
No.
It's how the fuck do they work?
She's going to know using Legos.
I really don't understand the correlation there, but that's awesome, I guess. I don't know.
It is
so
awesome.
she's gonna well, learn how to build. I do, but like, so she's gonna learn how to build a Millennium Falcon in a class in her school in the next 4 years. She's gonna learn how to build, you know, the Willis Flash Sears Tower in the next.
You know,
two
what'd be fun.
Years.
This is a random thought,
and it's a very cool thing. So she'll learn a bunch of stuff that. You and I just took for granted and try to figure it out ourselves, but that'll be taught to her at a preschool level, kindergarten level,
yeah.
that we may have been like, at eighth grade, been like, hey, let's build a fucking Willis Tower and figure it out.
They're going to be geniuses. They're going to enslave us.
Yeah,
I can't
yeah.
wait.
Totally.
But I think it would be cool if Lego released like a virtual reality game where you could.
They already do that.
Oh, can you collaboratively build things on Lego
they
blocks?
They totally fucking do that.
Oh,
so what
yeah,
do,
that'd be great.
What
yeah.
they do virtually
yeah,
is they say, hey, you want to have Captain America, and you want to build him virtually.
Mm-hmm.
So once you build him via Lego, you can use him in a game virtually.
Oh,
once
smart.
You do this guy in Lego, you can use him. So they basically have a – if you can construct it, you can use it mythology – with Legos and online gaming.
And if they were really smart, they would totally
it could go
theme,
beyond.
They
totally.
Would take Minecraft and just have a licensing agreement
and
with them.
That's kind of their attitude is not only can you build a person or a superpower or a shield or an arc reactor or whatever, you can also build a tower or a defensive thing and move that into a virtual world.
Cool.
It's close. It's not exactly Minecraft, but
yeah.
Lego's got the grasp on the fact that if you build it, you can use it in a virtual reality.
And but you're talking about like Lego.
Yeah.
Doing this whole thing, Lego totally should have done Minecraft long before Minecraft.
Yeah. 10 years before Minecraft.
Totally should have done
there.
This.
Yeah. And
they're playing catch up.
They're playing catch up.
And I
and
think
if you're in the
my
Minecraft
kids,
world, you're beyond what Lego's.
My kids,
to
John's
give you.
Kids, they're doing all the Minecraft stuff. They're going to go, what's this Lego thing? We don't give a shit.
Whatever, old man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're beyond it.
Go play with your Lincoln
Logs.
They're
past. Yeah. Yeah.
So I agree with you, but there are parents that don't even know what Minecraft is,
yeah.
So they're getting into Lego, sure. So they have an Xbox because dad plays Xbox, and now they figure out, oh my god, you can build Darth Vader and then play with him.
And their kids get made fun of every day.
And it's fun, and it's better than anything
and the kids
we ever
jump
grew
to
up
Minecraft.
With. Let's just put it that way, okay?
Yeah.
It's better than what we grew up with, and it's pretty cool. So
cool.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
No, I think Lego totally should have done the Minecraft thing long before. But I'm a little worried. I think they've lost it. They skipped a beat, and they're stuck.
They could hold on to their path, and they really couldn't.
And they couldn't.
Oh, did they lose?
Well, but they're breaking. They're getting very good at content, though. Like, right. You know, the Lego movie was huge. This Batman one's probably going to be big. I know my kids... Lego has a whole series of Star Wars cartoons, like mini-series.
Oh, yeah, they're like so Attack funny. Of the Clones.
They're,
Star
they're
Wars
actually written by Simpson writers that are hilarious.
But I think that's, like, they are... as much as Lego was about interaction with this thing,
yeah.
They've become more of an entertainment...
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's
as opposed to creative.
To morph into,
yeah.
You know, you know, because of those decisions.
Yeah.
They might end up becoming like a... You know, like an animation studio or something like
yeah.
that. I don't know, you know. Yeah, it's interesting.
And it's working.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
You know, I'm not... my heart's not bleeding for those
sure,
guys,
sure,
okay?
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're doing well, you know. Yeah.
Lego's it's just, killing it. And I would just tell you, I have a 4-year-old turning 5, and from kindergarten through 1st through 8th grade, there is a Lego class that she can subscribe to, join, be a part of... in school, after school, club related, that's all Lego, right? So she is able to participate in a Lego class as a part of full curriculum activity as learning for the next 4 to 5 years of her life, which is interesting.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
So, my kids didn't have that.
Yeah.
But that's important.
Well,
no.
You didn't have it, I didn't have it.
If Legos
my kids were, didn't have it.
Yeah, exactly. But they're building it into, hey, you want to learn
John,
core math and
yep.
geometry and
your
this
son
and that?
Is,
you know who else didn't have it? Archimedes, Plato.
Almost in the same
just saying.
Era.
Close.
Are those options there?
It's actually an after-school program. We
Lego?
Have it at school.
Yeah,
Lego.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I think it's through the park district. It's not actually through the school. And they only have like... 10 slots. So he got in the first slot for the first semester, and then he
tough
couldn't
get
in.
Into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's an after school. It's
part extremely.
And the yeah. way they're
building that's not the way to do this, guys.
No, but they're building
open
it backwards.
It up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Crossbow and whoever.
Guess what?
Victor.
Yeah. Minecraft is out there. Minecraft,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
anybody
yeah.
can do it. You got a PC, you can do it. Anybody can
Legos
do it.
Legos are expensive. I mean, they're really expensive.
That's classist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Classist. Yes.
It is. I agree.
Well, you know, it's funny because
my wife says I see classist. It's funny. We watch all these kids shows. I'm like, this is fucking classism, man. Like, Thomas and the Tank Engine. I'm like, you get that, right? And she's like, what? I'm like, this is capitalistic propaganda. And she's like, oh, my God. Like, I can't handle you. But I'm like, it's true. It's like, you know, like these trains do all... Have you ever watched the show?
Yeah.
The trains basically do all the work.
Yeah.
One of them screws up. And Sir Topham Hatt,
yes.
you know, who owns everything,
beats
lays
the
into
shit
them
out of
them. How they're not being productive enough for the rich people. And that's like the whole show.
Fucking play to the proletariat,
I mean,
man.
It's straight up, like, you know.
What?
No, I'm just saying.
You know, it's social Darwinism almost. And I'm like, you know, this is insane. And she's like,
did anybody hear that but me?
Nope. I don't know what you're talking about.
Jesus,
no,
I'm with
time.
You.
Yeah.
I'm totally with you.
But it is funny. Like some of the kids show, it's interesting to look, and maybe the only parents will get this, but it's interesting to see some of the agendas, at least that I see behind some of these kids shows. You know, some of them, like Curious George is hilarious, and that it's basically you can be the worst behaved person in the world.
Oh my god, that monkey cartoon!
Yeah.
Are you
destroy
kidding me?
People's factories.
And then in the end, you do something cute and everything's okay. And, yep. Like, I feel like Curious George sends this insane message to kids.
You just described Justin
Never
Bieber.
Never listen to the man in the top hat.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he disobeys everything.
The moral story and you're fine.
Yeah, and it's just interesting, like, some of the agendas. And then there's other ones that are just like, you always have to obey. You always have to obey. Like, there's this show called Chuggington. And it's just like there's they get their reports. It's like so much like to me it's so corporate because like basically this speaker that they've never met tells them what to do and just barks orders at them and their like lives are over if they don't listen 100%. And
so the dictatorial approach versus the it's all good.
Yeah, like the ADHD, like everything's okay, and you know, there's a lot in the middle too. But I don't know. It's just interesting to see the different agendas inside a TV show. Maybe I'm the only one who sees agendas. But,
so your son is in Indian Guides,
which officially is no longer called Indian Guides.
My son is in Boy Scouts.
Yes.
What's the difference?
Indian Guides, I think, is a lazier version of Boy Scouts.
But like, if you went...
We don't meet as often. We don't go on campouts as often. Like, Boy Scouts tend to meet like close to weekly, I think. Indian Guides is not that often.
It's like whenever the dads feel like getting together.
Yeah, yeah. Also, Indian Guides technically is YMCA. So that's like the main difference, is that it's supposed to have a Christian bent to it through the YMCA.
Hitler, the youth, compare and contrast.
Go. And that's why I asked the question. My son's in Boy Scouts, and I disagree with almost everything they do. And I'm going...
Oh, well, it's very conservative. Is that
very
where you're going? Yeah, it's very conservative organization. Yeah.
Very conservative.
Mine is
very
not. Yeah, mine's much more. Well, especially
regimented.
Very liberal,
it's almost like youth military.
Yeah, yeah.
Feel the burn.
Oh, that's right. You were telling me something about the political thing.
Has Pete shot a rifle?
Oh, I was sharing, the fact that Pete, like, wrote this wonderful... No, not yet.
How old is he?
He's going to be shooting this summer.
Yeah. They let my kid shoot. I'll tell you this. You want to know how lazy Indian Guides is? They let my kid shoot a real rifle at age 4.
That's my point. And like, Michigan, I was like, wait, are these... Pete would have been shooting, like, semi-automatic rifles at his age.
No, my neighbors would have been Michigan. Going, sure, go ahead, whatever. Yeah. But the Boy Scouts, this summer, that's when he's going to do that.
Yeah.
But, the whole issue of... these guys, like, going out and saying, you know what, this is who you are, this is how you are, it's about the flag, and it's about believing in your country, and blah, blah, blah. And then my son writes this very nice letter. So there's a badge you get for engaging with our political environment. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a letter to our president just... saying some nice things and asking a question and appreciating that our president did something. If our president was Truman, if our president was Nixon, if our president was Clinton, if our president was Obama, he would have written the same fucking letter. He's 11 years old.
Sure, yeah.
Right? It doesn't really matter who the president was.
Right.
He wrote this letter. But I'm going, brilliant. Good job. Write that letter. He wrote it, and it was nice, and he sent it off. But the problem is, at the meeting before he sent it, they went, all right, great. Share your letter. Well, I know my president today is Barack Obama, first African-American president, liberal guy. There's dissension in the ranks. There's the whole conservative side and Obama and whatever he says. The government's not going to do, and whatever the government says, Obama's not going to do, and there's this fight, right? So I'm going, great. My son's going to say, thank you, Barack, for being such a great president, and all of these Boy Scouts are going to go, who the fuck are you?
Don't you understand? They're taking our guns.
Yes. Obama's taking our guns and...
You're never going to get that badge.
...creating a horrible environment for our world and blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, the guy just wrote a fucking letter.
Yeah.
Let him go. What?
I'm waiting for you guys to attack me over here.
Nobody's attacking. Everything's empty, John.
Nobody's attacking.
What?
John, what
just,
are your thoughts?
Just because you were a young Republican.
I'll get you a beer. What do you want?
Share.
No, my son is not in any Indian programs or Boy Scouts, and I live in a predominantly Republican city and family, so...
So do I. One of the most Republican districts in all of Illinois?
Probably, yep. So,
I don't know.
Congratulations. My area is more left of Chicago, which is hilarious, because I'm...
You're extremely left. John and I are extremely right.
Well, I don't even know if I'm extremely left. I don't know. I hate the two-party system. I sort of hate... I don't believe in democracy, technically.
Democracy.
Like,
wow. So what do you believe in?
I feel to have democracy, you have to have a good education system. And I feel our education system is so bad that we are not qualified to elect our leaders.
Agree.
Thank you, Gavin.
You're welcome.
Gavin, do you have a high school education?
24 no, million I don't. People
yeah. You want this
Idol?
Asshole voting for your leaders?
I wouldn't vote for me.
24 million.
Hey, you guys hired me. Joke's on you.
Idol, but only 10 million people will vote for our president.
I know. Like, I really feel it's sad, and I don't know if it's we should be electing these people.
Yeah,
I agree. You know? I mean.
True.
Yeah. But also, like, so half the people who are passionate enough to actually go out and
vote. Well, that's the problem. Yeah.
Trump. Trump's like, the answer. Trump is the fucking answer
dictator
to everything.
Dictator for life.
Wow.
Dictator.
But I was going to say, half the people who are passionate enough to go out and vote are just passionate about their own opinion and
don't even.
I want to hear Gavin saying. Go ahead, Gavin.
I was going to say, again, half the people who go out to vote, I feel like maybe like a third of them, like, they might be more informed, but they're way more biased towards one side or the other because of an emotional feeling or some other decision that I'm not even sure that I want them, their passion and their level of knowledge. I'm not sure how much stock I put in that either. I don't know.
So should we have some...
So nobody should vote.
Some system that says,
nobody
like,
should vote.
If only 30% of the registered voters vote, then... They don't get vote, like the toll votes, or is there...
Well, you know, it was actually a funny quote by, I think it was like a very conservative person, like George Will or something, and conservatives say this a lot, but it was like, I would trust 7 random people from the phone book more than I would trust like this, or 9 random people from the phone book more than I would trust like the 9 Supreme Court justices. And I kind of feel like, I almost feel that way
that's
about...
That's huge.
I almost feel like I would...
You're
feel
a
like that
fucking
way about
libertarian
government.
All of a sudden.
God, is that huge. But, I mean, nobody votes in the primaries. Even fucking New York State had 30% of the people come out. One third of New York came out to vote for who they wanted for president.
But New York is interesting in that New York has a huge independent. Like, I think only 50% of New York is registered Republican or Democrat.
But
New York
has an amazing. Only a third of them voted for the primaries.
Well, no, but I mean that means only half of them didn't vote. Which isn't that bad for a... I mean, it's just your party's guy who doesn't...
The numbers are ridiculous. Will a majority of New York State go out to vote for a presidential?
Yeah, that's the question, right?
I think where Sean was going there was... It's a closed primary.
Yeah.
So... And primaries are bullshit.
You're either red or blue.
You pick one ballot.
Independent, and you're disenfranchised.
And it's bullshit.
Well, I don't think it's bullshit. No,
primaries are bullshit in that you have to pick, are you Democrat or Republican,
yes.
And that's your vote.
No, but they do that for...
That's garbage.
But they do that for a reason, right?
They do that for a reason, but it's still bullshit.
No, but I don't feel it is because...
It is bullshit.
Is this thing on? Shut up.
Keep talking into the mic.
But this is the issue.
Swallow that mic.
I mean, there's been a lot of studies that have shown, like, if you allow it to be open, it changes who your party elects. Because it pushes your party to somebody that doesn't agree with your party as much. Because people from outside your party vote for this person.
And ask the Republicans how much they want Donald fucking Trump as their representative, because they are forced to pick...
John, we're starting to look at you.
Representative who is elected by their fucking...
Well, but, and Trump is doing better in open primaries because Democrats are voting for him.
Sure.
But I also feel like it's
Democrats
not,
are voting for Trump.
Yeah, no, he has not lost an open primary state.
No,
he's
no.
Like
where delegates
he's something
are
like 20-0 in open primary states.
Where delegates aren't involved.
And it's like
triumphs.
Yeah.
And that's his like fucking winning thing.
Because
like
because I think he represents the anger that both parties have.
Anger is
at
perfect.
The establishment.
Two big populist movements from
so
Bernie
angry.
Sanders.
But I thought all right, call me naive. I thought
you're naive.
Trump represented the right wing side of the I'm disaffected and I don't want to do this bullshit two party system thing. And Bernie represented the left wing side of it.
And I think that is true, but I think there are some Democrats who feel like, well, Bernie ain't gonna win, but this guy could really burn the place to the ground. And in an open primary, they vote for him.
Holy
Trump.
Shit.
But yeah, Trump is undefeated in open primaries.
Yes. Anybody,
by a huge margin
the
of victory.
Thing, the funny
if
thing
if you don't
I
buy into
is...
Trump, and it, the whole point of like voting for Trump yeah. is to burn the fucking thing down, you are so far out of whack.
But oh, hold on, hold on.
Most
what if the thing they
want to
burn down is the
Trump
party system, but not like the government
be
and the country?
Bernie. That's
fine,
really how probably. I feel.
But don't, Gavin. Good point. Go ahead. Burn down the party system. The problem is we're doing it in a fucking presidential election. You can't do it.
We should just have a parliamentary system.
It would be... I think we can all agree if he somehow becomes president, it's what all our grandkids are going to ask us about.
How the fuck?
I mean, it's going to be like living through... It's like, talk about historically important. Because nobody's going to ask us, like, oh, what was it like when the internet first came online? You know, like, because that's just...
By the way, this is a good point. So I've said fuck a few times.
Yeah.
And Dan just said fuck. And
you said
this
fuck.
May be the first podcast... that Dion's not been the most vulgar person
on
that.
The I'm sure when we add up the numbers.
Shit on my face.
Dan's impression of Dion.
So we're 30 minutes into the podcast, and I have yet to chime in. You think I'm going to come from behind? Viewers, let's vote right now.
Viewers.
Who do you think is going to be the most
Thank God
vulgar.
There's no video in here, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, how they people used to think, like, you know, man, how the hell did you get Hitler into power? Like, are we like
yes.
along the same
yeah.
lines? So you're exactly
how
what
did
you're
you
saying.
Get this?
Which is
how
my point.
Reality star.
And
you know what's funny is we're gonna sell because it's always funny. You always watch people like people jury like, oh, he was so charming.
Right. You know why?
And then you watch those old things. You're like, how the fuck was this guy charming? He's screaming at the top of his lungs.
Like a murderer.
I have
like,
a ton to say, but I'll save it for Monday. In the room
for the next podcast.
For the next podcast.
Yeah. Well, we should probably get off politics. But
yeah,
it is funny.
Yeah.
This is why Gavin should not vote. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
that's why. No, I don't vote. You'll be happy to know because I don't know enough about local politics.
Nope.
And then
you know,
the
nothing. Nor does the
politics.
Average voter.
Nope. Yeah.
But I mean, presidential, we're gonna go Democrat either way. So
Illinois,
love it. Yeah.
Sure, whatever. So Brave browser.
Yes.
What did they do?
Good call.
That is, so they're doing something very interesting. So they are the first browser that is natively doesn't show ads. And what else is interesting about Brave is sometimes websites anti-ad blocking AI doesn't recognize Brave because it doesn't actually have the plug. However Brave does it is you still get served the content. But anyways, their new version, they've said that they're going to have two modes. They're going to have native mode, which is ad blocking, and then they're going to have a different mode where the ads are replaced by their own ads. So you would go to the Tribune.
Right. Ad replacement and ad blocking.
Yes. And Brave would insert their own ads and then pay you bitcoins to be in that mode. And what's just interesting is every publisher has said, we just want you to know we are going to sue you day one. End of the Stone Age.
Your
if you try and do that.
Burn to the fucking ground.
Right. Yeah. And this guy's like, well, we're going to do it. And we think we have a good case. And they're like, well, okay, you're about to sue every publisher. You're going to be sued by every publisher. But I do feel it's an interesting discussion because I don't think it's quite right to insert your own ads. But then at the same time, I feel these publishers, what they're basically doing is they basically have these spaces that third parties are serving up ads, and there isn't really this due diligence about whether these ads, if there's malware,
should they be there or not be there, yeah.
Yeah, or how intrusive they are.
Malware.
Yeah, it's almost like there needs to be an ombudsman that could be like, this ad should not be served.
How do you feel about, all right, so the ad blocker thing happened, what was it, 6 months ago? I mean,
year, yeah.
Ad
Apocalypse, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So now you go to certain websites and you have your ad blocker built in. And they come up, so you go and click on something you want to see, and then they say, oh, I'm sorry, you have an ad blocker installed. We're not going to show you this content. What is your reaction to that? Do you go to a different web browser so that you can then see that, or do you say, well, fuck you, I'm not going to...
I usually end up just, unless it's something that I think is really going to be super interesting that I can't find anywhere else, I usually just leave.
And that's been my thing. It's like, well, fuck you. If you're not going to show me your content, you know, the mere reason for your site to exist to show me content.
Yeah. And I actually don't... It's funny because I wouldn't mind ads per se, but this is what it's... Every now and again, there will be something important enough that I turn off ad blocker, okay? And I might go... a few hours, I might go a few days with it off and not mind it, but then I'll eventually get to like the Tribune's website. The Tribune is atrocious.
Yeah.
Where sometimes they will have an ad that just creeps over your whole screen, right, and blares music, and you're like, oh my god, I have ad blocker off.
Or like CBS Local.
Yeah, and it's like
fucking worst.
Like I really feel they have to get rid of those kind of ads.
Or they're just going to realize that their content isn't really worth that fucking much.
Yeah.
But so the point of a publisher has content. Any publisher, an artist has content. A blog has content. A news service has content. And there's value in the content. And the fact that a third party is going to come in and go, thanks very much, we're going to take your content, we're going to... screw all your ads, which you went out and sold for your content to support this content, and we're going to replace those with our ads because somebody's consuming off of our site. This is the market that I live in, right?
Yeah.
This is like our business.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Oh, it's,
do they
wrong.
Call it
replacement? It seems 100% illegal to me, or if not illegal, at least... untoward, you know, I don't...
Do they call it replacement? And do they physically place their ad?
The reason why they
else?
Think it will work, their claim is, and I can't see it working, their claim is that these ads aren't actually served by the content provider. They're served by third parties.
Sure, yeah,
But I, as a content provider, I'm not saying this is true for everybody, but if I contract with Google... or some pick your fucking ad serving service and say, look, you serve my ads. I'm going to pay you and you're going to contract with these other groups. Serve my ads on my space. That's appropriate. That's your job. My job is to produce content. Pay me and I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good.
Yeah.
So if Brave is going to say, hey, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, whatever the publication is, right? I am now going to be your broker. So I will pay you. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But if they're just going, no, fuck you. I'm going to block all your ads that you're getting through these other brokers, and I'm going to serve up my own, and I'm going to get paid by that group.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Oh, I 100% agree, and I think... I don't see how you could read that and agree with it.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Totally.
And I don't
doesn't
see
make sense.
How they could win it.
But haven't the original content providers screwed themselves in that, not so much on the desktop, because the desktop tends to work fairly well, in that, you know, an ad pops up, you have some control over blocking it or dismissing it.
Sure.
But what's really gone wrong is on the mobile.
Oh, it's atrocious,
The mobile experience, it has gone completely broken where you think you're engaging on some content that you want to consume, and there is no way to escape out of the ad that has happened.
Oh, no, yeah.
And this is where both the publishers of the content and the ad providers have failed the mobile experience miserably.
Oh, and yeah. When you're paying per the kilobyte too, and you have a slower connection.
Exactly. So this is where the rebellion's happening, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And
dealing with that is where the revolution happens.
Yeah, and I wonder if... I think the future might be that this natively goes into the browsers, and that the browsers have like some sort of like, almost like the way the ad, like the app store works now, where they say like, listen, if we're going to serve an ad, you have to obey certain standards, security standards, and like UX standards, or our Chrome won't serve it. You know, and you know, we're only going to block things that put a risk to our user.
Sure.
Or, you know, or the UX experience.
Sure. So you agree with the brave, like, I'm going to protect my users model.
I do agree with that.
You disagree with the aggressive way that they're approaching.
Well, I think serving your own ads is straight up thievery.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I really do feel like there has to be, like, because I think that if you could just eliminate, like, the 5% or whatever it is of atrocious ads, people would be willing to see ads for good content.
Yes.
I really do. You know, I mean, it's never bothered us in the past.
But right. But having a browser with built-in ads to surf the internet, that's okay on its face, right? So what if you have an ad-supported browser?
Well, and then the browser paid the content providers, so you also had ads. Like if you went to the Tribune, what are you seeing?
Okay, you're seeing the browser's advertisements, and then you're seeing whatever's on the Tribune page, ads and all.
So those ads too?
Yeah.
But why would you? Browsers are already free. Why would you need a browser-supported?
Well, to pay for their development.
But there's already great browsers that are free. Like why?
Well, you know? I mean, I'm just saying. You just said that a browser serving its own ad.
Oh, no. I was saying browsers are natively going to block ads that don't subscribe to,
but
like...
But I'm trying to, like, tease out, like, okay, so a browser can have its own ads, but one of the browser's features just happens to be ad blocking.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense, or does that completely... No, still illegal.
No, I think ad blocking is fine, you know?
But isn't that what Brave is, that it's an ad-supported browser that happens to have ad blocking, or no?
Yes. So what... My interpretation is Sean is saying that they crossed the line by saying, we're going to block your ads. We're going to block. Oh, you know what? We're not going to block anymore. We're going to block and replace with our own ads.
But that's why I want to get to like the replace part. Like, are they physically putting their ads over the location
yes.
where the other ads
no.
are?
Yes. Oh. No, that
some
is
are,
what
some are.
All right,
then
they're fucked.
Oh,
yeah. That's just, yeah.
Some are, some are not. Because if you, it depends on mobile what you're using.
If they do that, they're asking for a lawsuit.
Brave is just saying,
asking, it's gonna happen.
Blocking all, not replacing with. Dolphin does the same thing where it's basically blocking and not replacing. Just no fucking ads. Use us, you won't get any fucking ads.
Yeah, well, and that's what Brave is natively now. It's interesting.
Huge,
and the guy who invented it doesn't care. He's just he was the guy who got fired from Mozilla.
He's the guy who created JavaScript.
He created JavaScript and Mozilla.
Oh my God,
he created JavaScript.
Yeah. Yes. It's Brandon Eich.
Yeah, and then he donated to the Gay Marriage Act in California. He donated against gay marriage, and he basically got fired.
He donated against gay marriage.
Yeah, he did, and he got fired.
Wow. He's an original Netscape employee.
Yeah, he was. He like created Netscape.
Andreessen?
No, it's Brendan Eich.
Okay.
Yeah, he basically like created the modern internet.
Yeah.
Then, donated against gay marriage and had to restart his career at Brave. And I really don't think he gives a fuck. I think it's just like,
maybe he's got Andreessen's money behind him.
I really think he doesn't. I don't think he cares if his company gets sued in the Stone Age. Which is kind of interesting because he's like, oh, we're gonna go forward.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, well. You know, we got a lot of lawyers. Like, we're the Chicago Tribune. We've been suing people for 200 years. And he's like, well, I think we got a good case.
All right.
You know, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New York Times, Washington
Post. Like
we're
Time Warner.
Wall Street Journal.
It's like the list of people lining up to sue them is hilarious.
The Newspaper Association of America. I'm just reading off a few here.
It is hilarious.
Yeah. That's a fight.
Wow.
He's probably got like one lawyer. Imagine being that guy. So, Brandon, once again, I'm going to recommend we not do this.
We're going forward, and I will represent myself. So I'm going to, like, spin this a little bit out of this category, so I hope you don't mind. But I had another question. I asked one question of you guys, which was Wednesdays, are we going to do this? Next question. We had this conversation in the office the other day. Who's the coolest person that you know? Honest fucking God. The coolest person. And I'm going to start with Sean Flannery. Who's the coolest person you know?
Please say Flan Chonery.
I don't know. I really would have to think about it. I had a friend. I don't know if coolest is the right way. Where he was the most interesting person I knew. And
we just shot him to Mars. I understand.
Yeah, he was just.
We took the most interesting man
cool,
in the world.
And he was a cool, funny guy. So he would do this thing at night where he was almost like this civil productivity vigilante. He called himself the street enforcer. And
wait,
he,
are you talking about Dag Von Bretzel?
No, this was okay. A guy. This is my friend Sean Cole is his name, and he looks like the brawny man. He's like 6'5", beard, good-looking guy. And he would...
That doesn't exist.
He would just, like, take over. Like, he would just help people out in the city as the street enforcer.
Good for him.
You know, and, like, I would be walking with him. So I remember we were going to a Cubs game once, and he saw these people trying to move into Wrigleyville, and they're carrying a mattress, like, into the crowd and wavelet. He's like, absolutely not. No way. I got 10,000 people behind me. And he would just pick up their mattress, and he would, like, walk, and he'd be like, all right, you show me where we're going. This ain't happening. And, like, he would do stuff like that all the time. And I was like, we would be driving sometimes. He'd be like, pull it over. And he would see, like, a guy... Like, I remember, like, we were next to an accident in Lakeshore, and he'd be like, absolutely not, we're not waiting for the cops here. He's like, I got rush hour traffic behind. He would always yell, like, what he has, like, he's part of the city. He's like, we're going to move these two. And like, well, what about, he's like, I got, you know, give me both your contact information. But he would do this all the time. Like, he would just roam the city.
Man of action.
Yeah, looking, and he was like, but he was super handy. He was a welder, like really funny guy.
I knew you would have somebody.
Yeah, like his name is Sean Cole. He now lives out where they filmed Goonies, and he works for the city cutting down trees.
I don't know. I think my guy is more famous than yours.
Ooh.
Oh, who's yours? Yeah. Well, he's not famous. He's just a cool guy, you know?
The coolest guy I know and have met and have interacted with is Jim Peterik.
Who's he?
He wrote Vehicle. He wrote Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, the musician.
He's wrote songs for 38 Special, Lynyrd Skynyrd, yeah. Cheap Trick, Sammy Hagar, James Van Dant, REO Speedwagon, The Beach Boys. Like, he's... Every yeah. time you hear Eye of the Tiger, he gets basically a Lamborghini in his driveway.
You're dropped.
So, you watch some fucking commercial, and you're like, Eye of the Tiger!
In a hot tub
of it's like
a
Lamborghini in his driveway.
But he's like a cool guy. Like, he's like a nice, cool
dude. Thank
you. The best thing about Jim Peterik is he says, I love the music. I want to bring everybody into it. And whether... If you have any sort of talent or skill, he says... I think you should be as famous as I think you should get a Lamborghini every time your song is played. And he does everything he can to make sure that happens.
Yeah.
He is the nicest, coolest, most famous, richest guy I've interacted with in my life. And I think Jim Peterik tops like anybody I've ever met in my life.
Well, that's great. Yeah.
Clearly you're Marble Man. That's
out
on the West Coast.
But if you hear Eye of the Tiger, Jim Peterik basically gets a Lamborghini in his driveway.
Yeah.
That's much better than some guy who's going to actually carry my mattress across the street.
Yeah, that sounds like
an asshole.
Bullshit.
No Lamborghinis are showing up in his driveway.
But he's the nicest guy. Like, you could literally walk up to this guy and be like, dude, like, how are you doing? And he would talk to you for like 20 minutes. You would never have any idea who he is. He would have complete, like, he would just talk to you like a normal human being. You would not know he's a billionaire. And you'd just be like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, great. That's awesome.
God damn it, Brownlee.
Hey.
Yeah. At the tone, the hour is 5:08 p.m.
Hit you up at the top of the hour.
Dan, coolest man in the world.
Coolest man in the world.
Person, you know.
Ron Swanson, Parks and Recreation.
Oh. You know Ron Swanson? Like, you know him, him?
He's a native Manukian where my brother lives.
And you've met him?
I have not met him.
And you've talked to him?
I have not.
But your opinions are, he is the coolest guy you know.
I mean, he's pretty
cool. You're talking about the actor who plays him?
Yeah.
He is a cool guy. He does, like, woodworking and...
Yeah, it was the best I could do on short notice. No. I didn't know this question was coming.
Well, that's the whole point. That's why I
who
asked.
Did you meet? Who do you know? Who's the coolest dude on the planet?
Do I meet anybody? It's Dion.
Yeah.
Dion.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Dan's been in the Camaro. He knows.
Yeah.
Been in that ride. 45 degrees.
Top down.
65 miles an hour down the expressway.
65? You mean 165, Dan?
Hey, well, you know, it's hard to read that speedometer when you're going that fast. But yeah.
I almost murdered Dan in the car. It's okay.
Coolest person you've ever come across?
I don't really think I have a good answer for this one.
Your dad.
Oh.
Your dad.
Oh,
your dad's
shit.
Totally.
No.
Your dad's cool.
Your brother.
No, that's brother. Maybe a curse having a
Trevor.
Cool dad.
My older brother is pretty cool.
Your older brother is pretty great. Or younger, younger.
Marine or the
general? The Marine, because I'm jealous of his skills, because when he went into the Marines, he went for nuclear biological chemical warfare, and then he's like, that's not dangerous enough, so I'm going to go disarm some bombs, and he went to the ordnance disposal unit. He can teach karate. He's a black belt. He knows how to kill a man. He's scuba diving master. I mean, there's nothing he can't do. So that's pretty cool. But my initial thought was going to be just cool as in chill people. Is just my buddy Nick Cataldo, who was he was kind of this weird, funky dropout kid from high school. And he was a drug dealer for a couple of years, and I lived with him.
This is exactly how I describe you, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Oh my God. But he's...
This story is amazing.
And then he worked construction for a couple of years and did a bunch of odd jobs. But and you'd think he's, I don't know, you come across as the most sophisticated dude in the world. But he's married, he has a kid, and he works a nice steady job, and he actually makes really decent money. But he's got... I don't know. He's just he's always there for you. He's the most chill person I've ever met in my life.
That's a
and
good
he's just
answer.
A really good family man. And that's
this,
all there is to
this
it.
This guy competes with the guy who wrote Eye of the Tiger?
No. My criteria, so Sean's criteria is different.
Every
your your criteria is different.
Eye of the Tiger on every third commercial.
Dude, I think you heard Richest Man.
I don't really, I don't know any famous people. I've met Jay Cutler. I shook his hand. If that's what you want to hear.
Jay Cutler really is the coolest guy. Cool under pressure.
That's right. Doesn't look down at his feet in the pocket. Keeps his eyes downfield.
Yeah, it's great. That's fine.
Throwing to the ground.
If you wanted to hear most famous, that's the most famous. But I don't meet famous people. So coolest in my definition is going to be the most chill person.
That's perfect.
Or the person with the coolest skills.
Yep. No.
So
go with it.
That's it. I'm done.
Do it.
That was brilliant. Thank you. And John.
I can't compete with this. Really.
Oh, come on.
Eye of the fucking tiger, John.
I can't be with Eye of the fucking tiger.
I don't know. I think you know.
If you don't say Jim Peterick,
I
think you're wrong.
I think you know a shortstop or some baseball player who.
Yeah, but the thing is,
Harrison
Jr., they're not
important.
I don't know. They really haven't done much for our.
Gavin just gave you somebody who's not in the public eye, but he gave you a reason that he thought he was cool.
Well, you know this person. I think he's really cool. He worked at our company a long time ago.
Who?
His name is Craig. I think he is a brilliant man. He's a smart man. And he got advertising. He understands brands and people. But I always respect this man. And I always got along with him. Because even though it never mattered how high he got, he still was John, how is your wife, Trish?
Yep.
And how is your son,
yep,
Connor, doing?
He was a real guy.
Right, exactly. In our business, that's hard to do.
Yep.
Hard to find.
Hard to find in this business. Totally.
So, Craig, this person that now works in Australia, Leo, he was a great person in our industry.
We're trying desperately to identify Leo in Australia, who might know Craig, who lives in Australia, by the way.
Huge in Australia. Yeah.
And we might mention Melbourne just because.
Craig, please don't leave us.
Hey, Craig.
Yeah.
Steve, who's yours? I mean, besides Leo, obviously.
We're shopping you into that picture, just to let you know.
We love you, Leo.
Long time.
Yes.
Sorry. Totally working to like Photoshop him in. Gonna happen. No, that was I like that segment.
Oh, nice.
I like that segment.
All right.
Do you know any rappers? Like, do you know Drake or anything? Or
Drake?
Yeah. Who's the coolest person?
I mean, Kanye? You know, I hang with him, but I know him. Like, know him.
Right.
Not really.
Yeah. It's hard to like know him.
Yeah.
I've heard he's a pretty obnoxious guy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, on a weekly basis we go out, but other than that, no.
Yeah. Shoot the shit.
Don't really know him.
Yeah.
Service catalog. Oh.
No.
Let's bring it right back.
Wait, did you give your coolest person, Steve, or no?
Nobody wants to talk about service catalog.
You gave me the real person. Drake, done.
You don't...
Coolest man in the world.
You can't just dodge your own question.
I have to answer?
Yeah.
Well, the reason this question came to mind to me was I was honestly in a conversation with my wife, and... She went, I think the coolest person that, like, you know is John Hutton.
Really?
Damn.
Quite a
nice
compliment,
job,
John.
Really? Yeah, Hutt.
And I went, really?
Really? Damn, John, what the fuck?
She didn't say Sean.
No, she didn't.
Humor means
nothing. But that leads me to, because I then chimed in with, you know, we've had the conversation about, like, who is the most hipster person, and it always comes down to the two guys who are on the couch right now.
Okay. But it's like, Sean's proto-hipster.
Well, it's Sean.
Sean was hipster before.
Or it's Gavin.
Yeah.
In this group, who is the most hipster? Sean?
I think most people I thought agreed it was Gavin.
Absolutely.
Gavin's got their phases, so we're not sure what do you think?
I'm going goth next, just to let you guys know.
God.
A little heads up.
You've been heading that way, but you never really bought in.
No, I'm going full goth.
You're going full goth.
My buddy has a great joke, and this doesn't apply to you because you're so thin, but he always goes, yeah, I tried to go hipster, but just too fat. I had to go goth. You know, you just get to a point where you can't fit into skinny jeans. And,
I feel his pain.
I love that. So, yes, you guys were brought up in that conversation. You don't want to talk about service catalog. I thought DM would be all in on that topic, but...
I mean, if I had great, amazing results from all of our inquiries regarding the IBM service catalog, I'd be all in. We've gotten bullshit. I have nothing to fucking comment on.
What have you asked them?
And...
What have you asked them, Dion?
I've asked them for a fucking service catalog.
Anything.
Sears robot catalog. Give me some sort of catalog over here.
Anything to jerk off to.
Oh my God.
Give me some fucking 38Ds.
Some bras.
Yeah.
Swimwear.
This isn't nothing. A JCPenney catalog, okay?
Cloud options.
Worst catalog ever.
What was the George Costanza Glamour magazine, or what was it?
There was a red book there.
Red
book. Like to light myself.
which actually leads us to what was this bar that some woman found a two-way mirror in?
This is an oldie but goodie.
2-year-old story. This is a
one of our favorites here at Worldwide Tea Guys.
Probably one of the greatest things that I've ever done in my life.
I think you tell it best, Gavin.
Let's go 2014. Gavin, bring us back to 2014.
Yeah.
Wayback Machine. Let's go.
I'm sorry. I'm bringing back old
stories.
Then Sean
can finish it.
What? You don't want it? All right. Well, so this female... I remember coming in someday in this...
We couldn't believe you were involved in this story.
Apparently, the previous night, a female comedian was performing at this dive bar in Berwyn, which, coincidentally, 2 years later, I moved next to. But I did my first open mic set at this bar, like, many years ago. Hadn't been there in a long time. Anyways, I think Gavin had found it. Like, dude, you gotta read this article. She found a two-way mirror in the women's bathroom. And it ends up going viral that... You know, maybe people are spying on women's going to the bathroom there. And Gavin is telling me about it. I'm like, I know that dude. Like, like I'm friends with him almost.
The owner of the bar?
Yeah, his name is Ronnie Lotz.
He's amazing.
He's a former professional wrestling manager. He's been cussed, he estimates, 200 times in his life. He's also a drunk. He's the most insane man you'll ever meet. I think he's hilarious. He's hilarious. He's about 4'11". He looks like the guy in charge of the biker gate. He looks like a 4'11" version of what's that biking show? The biker show, Hell's.
Nobody
the California motorcycle Hell's Angels show that was popular.
Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, so yeah, he looks like a 4'11" version of their leader.
Big mustache.
So that's our picture for this week's pod show.
Yep. So anyways, Jezebel, which is a big, huge female audience blog, calls him. And should we just read it?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the funniest interview.
It's brilliant.
And then I'm going to bring up how this connects with WWIT.
And the woman was, like, really concerned, like, that people were spying on her.
Now, I will say, it's all Ronnie is a huge fan of Halloween. And what he does is he puts scary, costumes in here, then he turns the light on in
Loves
the mirror.
Halloween.
Yeah, and women freak out. Yeah, but anyways.
And the Jezebel reporter has no context.
He doesn't know the internet. No. So this is a transcription from Jezebel. Phone rings. A woman answers. Bathroom mirror, how can I help you? So he had his employees answering the phone. Bathroom mirror.
Because I know I'm fucking popular.
She goes, excuse me, is this Cigars and Stripes? Yes, it is. I'm calling in regards to a video posted about a two-way mirror in the bathroom. Hold on. Man picks up. Hello? Hi, I'm with Jezebel. I'm calling about a two-way mirror in your ladies' restroom. What does Jezebel do? I've never heard of her. And yes, absolutely, we have a two mirror in there. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
We've had it since 2001. Okay, so I'm just wondering why it's in the ladies' room. Young lady, I have a beer garden. I have a 10.5-foot hole. Did you know that it's haunted? A man fell dead in there last year.
We should be totally reading this back and forth.
I mean, his non sequiturs are amazing. Do you know what we do for the 7 days of Halloween? Do you know that mirror's been in there for the longest time? The women opened the door. I mean, she opened the door. There's nothing in there. Open the door and pee. Do what you want to do. Quite frankly, I'm enjoying people calling because I sell chicken wings. I've been in professional wrestling. So, yes, come see my mirror. Eat my wings. I don't know what to tell you, honey.
You're going to keep this mirror in there?
I will burn this place to the fucking ground before I get rid of that mirror. Do you know how much joy that mirror has brought to us? We're synonymous with Halloween. We do a freaky family fun day, and all the kids look in the mirror. This is a fun house, honey, and if you don't like a two-way mirror, go fuck yourself. And if you come on my stage, you have something to say. Everybody needs an angle. My angle is I do barbecue. I promote it. I break my ass for the local comics in Chicago. I pay them. I try and make them into rock stars. They do nothing except for this. One girl said she wanted to pull her pants down and show her clitoris to me. And they all came and ate my wings.
I'm sorry. So you're the owner?
It's all about the wings.
I've been the goddamn fucking owner for the past 16 miserable years. Blood, sweat, and tears.
I'm staring at you to try these wings.
The best out of everything that you've said so far is, and the phrase that pays is, I will burn this place to the fucking ground before I blank.
Yeah.
And we use that in regards to any of our transformation stories, any of our lives, anything anybody ever fucking says to us, I will burn this place to the fucking ground before I do XYZ.
Before I commit this code.
And we will... We live by that rule.
Yeah,
that is what we die by.
And
YT guys to the grave.
And the rest of the interview isn't as good. He does end it on this great line where he goes, that's what we do. We specialize in making people feel very uncomfortable. It's why we're successful.
That's great.
But what I love about this
whole interview is she's like interviewing him going, this guy is like off the rails, bullshit, ridiculous. And then she goes, well, you know, can I like get your contact details? And he goes, yeah, here's my fucking email address.
Oh, yeah. And no, he actually goes, my name is Ronnie Lotz. And by the way, you're on speaker.
Very polite of him. Very polite.
But so I see, so now I live 10 minutes from there. It turns out they have like great beer. And I've been in there randomly.
Shocking.
He cracks me up so much. And so I told him, I probably hadn't seen him in 10 years. I see him for the first time maybe like 3-4 months ago. Okay, and this is after this story came out. So I go, Ronnie, I just want you to know, like, you know, where I work, we quote you all the time due to that Jezebel story. Like, I routinely say, I will burn this place to the fucking
ground. I will burn this place to the ground before I do that PowerShell shit.
Before I do that.
Yes.
And he just sits back, and I'm in his office, and we're having some beers. He sits back, and goes, oh, you know what they say. Nobody talks about a business that isn't on fire. Because that's my motto. And yeah, I'm like, well, that's a great motto for running a business, right?
Yes. Burn that shit to the ground.
It's in a constant state of being on fire. So that people are talking about it.
Thrives on chaos.
Man, that's awesome.
Just to wrap up the story, this guy isn't like a pervert because the mirror is in a closet. Yeah. It's like was completely lost.
Doesn't even fit a human. Like,
no.
I mean,
the whole point is this guy's got a closet with a skeleton in it, but there's nobody that can ever fit in this closet. Yeah. It literally is a two-way mirror to nothing, right?
It got 3.5 million hits on YouTube, and people were like, this guy should be arrested. He should be in prison. And like,
he did go in a totally opposite direction. Of people normally make.
But the thing is, I've been in like fancy
great PR when you think about
bathrooms where they're two-way mirrors where you're actually peeing at the urinal and it's a mirror you can see outside. So you think you're looking out into the restaurant. But anyway, this is a high class establishment in Berwyn.
I think the cops did visit it.
Wait, what?
Berwyn.
I'm going high class Berwyn. No.
Berwyn. Okay. Yes.
Doesn't exist. That's probably a good time to I'm gonna mention now that we are the Worldwide IT guys. We are taking this is the promotional segment where we don't have a sponsor.
Are we asking for money?
I might be asking for some money.
Drive.
We'll send you blood.
So we have T-shirts that are available if anybody wants a T-shirt. Yep. We have T-shirts that are available, and we're looking at probably...
$49 a piece.
No, we're looking at probably like $25 for a T-shirt.
Jeez.
And if anybody wants a T-shirt, tweet us at Worldwide IT Guys, or as in WWIT Guys. Tweet us there. And just hashtag T-shirt. Let us know you're interested, and we'll get back to you and say, yeah, we're all in. Let us know your size and whatnot. But hashtag T-shirt, or what
T-shirt
is T-guys.
Size.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
T-shirt or find us on beertobuds.com and send us a beer at WWIT Guys.
Yep. Find us
another,
on Untappd.
Another option.
Yeah, find us on Untappd.
I got there's a little bit of investment here, and I just think that if there's anybody out there listening that wants to support us, we're all in. We'd love to hear from you. If not, that's cool. We're cool. I'm good to go. But
Leo,
I just
Australia.
If Leo does not buy a fucking T-shirt,
God damn it!
Ass kissing Leo, Jesus, you're asking.
Leo, buy a T-shirt so we could stay alive for the next 4 podcasts, please.
You know what else are you gonna do on your bike ride?
John, do you have any? Vendor scum this week.
Nothing good this week.
Oh,
so we're
shit.
Gonna,
you ruined the entire quit. Segment.
I know.
Really?
I'm sorry.
Can we read a New York email of the week then?
Nope. Yes.
If you possible? Have a New York email of the week.
I got a lot of vendor.
All right. Can you 3:46 p.m. on Wednesday. Hi, everyone. Due to an external event, the bar will be closed tomorrow. The bar will be open tonight, and the keg will be served. Thank you. See. That's been your New York email for one second.
You know what? That could be one of the best segments ever.
Yes. Very important New York emails, yes.
A lot of good business getting done.
Yes.
So,
We need to brand that. We need the barometer or something. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Barometer. I don't think that works.
I think it works very well.
So we had some visitors this week. If they are listening, they could chime in and buy a T-shirt. Anybody else? Anything else before we sign off? It's probably beer time. So thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
Cork Soakers.
Cork Soakers.
Monday.
See you next Wednesday or Monday or Tuesday or whenever we're doing this. We are the Worldwide IT Guys. WWITguys.com and the same Twitter handle. We'll see you later next time. Bye.
Bye. Go Cubs. Go Shy Sox.
Oh.
Yep.
Chris Sale totally juices.
Juice.
Really?
Totally. You didn't hear that?
No.
Oh, my God. It's all over the press.
Oh, man.
Ariota.
Ariota?
Did he? Ariota.
I saw the...
juice.
When I went out to the...
They're the skinniest fucks ever, but
you
they're accused
picture?
Of juicing. It's so funny.
Sometimes, you know, sobering his no-hitter.
Yeah, it was...
He's like, yeah. You know, just huge.
Sweating.
Yeah.
I juice. That's how I showed up on
time. He's sweating, time. Yeah.
It's my secret.
Yeah, but that's one time every 3 months. Isn't that right?
My body can take it.
thanks, guys.